ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 15 एंटाइटल्ड इंस्ट्रक्शंस फॉर सिविलाइज्ड ह्यूमन बीइंग्स टेक्स्ट 4
देशकालोचित श्राद्ध द्रव्यपत्रारणीच हरणीच सम्यक् भवन्ति नैतानि विस्तारा स्वजनार्पणात्।
ट्रांसलेशन इन पर्पर्ड बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। If one arranges to feed many brahmanas or relatives during shraddha ceremony, there will be discrepancies in the time, place, respectability and ingredients, the person to be worshipped and the method of offering worship. Purport: Narad Muni has prohibited unnecessarily gorgeous arrangements to feed relatives or brahmanas during the shraddha ceremony. Those who are materially opulent spend lavishly during this ceremony. Indians spend especially lavishly on three occasions: at the birth of a child, at marriage, and while observing the Shraddha ceremony. But the Shastras prohibit the excessive expenditures involved in inviting many Brahmanas and relatives, especially during the Shraddha ceremony. Oh, Hare Krishna. So the last verse of the last chapter concluded with Devarshi Narada telling Yudhishthir Maharaj that Brahmanas, especially those engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord, are not only recognized but also worshipped by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this chapter which we are presently going through, Narad Muni discusses the differences between different grades of Brahmanas, and in this verse and the preceding verse is actually giving explicit instructions on how many Brahmanas should be invited during the different types of sacrifices or yajna which are performed by householders. In the earlier verse, for instance, he says dvau daive pitru karya trin. So he is actually saying that for offering oblations to the demigods, one should invite only two Brahmanas, and for Pitru Karya, that is for Shraddha and such ceremonies, one should invite three Brahmanas. Or in either case, only one Brahmana will suffice. Eka ekam ubhayatra, that is what he said in the previous verse. So who is that eka ekam ubhayatra, we will discuss a little later. So even though one is very opulent, he should not invite more Brahmanas or make expensive arrangements. Why is that? That explanation is given in this verse that we are discussing now. It is explained that in trying to feed many Brahmanas or relatives during the Shraddha ceremony, there will be discrepancies. Any discrepancy in karma kanda activity usually does not give you the desired result. We'll try to illustrate this with a story a little later in the day. So it means therefore that one has to worry more about consciousness rather than actual activity. While both are important, the emphasis is on the consciousness of the Brahmanas who perform the sacrifices and also the householder who engages the Brahmanas in performance of the sacrifices. Now, this advice is given to, this is talked to Yudhishthir Maharaj by Narad Muni in Dwapar Yuga. But even in today's Kali Yuga time, it seems to be very, very practical, both spiritually and materially, to invite only one Brahmana for the ceremonies. Why? With the price of rice, you know, at 30 rupees per kg, ordinary rice, and oil at 60, it seems a very practical proposal that has come. Anyway, be that as it may, why there are some questions which one may ask. Why are yajnas necessary in the first place? And then why are always brahmanas the presiding officers, you know, on this in the yajnas? And then why is there now gradation of the brahmanas? Some of these questions we will try to answer in the presentation that I'll be giving now. Very briefly, all this is dealt with by Srila Prabhupada elaborately in his purports. So why are yajnas necessary for householders? So Srila Prabhupada in his purports in Madhya Lila, I think 22nd chapter, he gives reasons why every householder should perform yajna. He says that after birth, every man is indebted in so many ways to different people. First of all, there is this indebtedness to demigods. It's called as Deva Rina. He is indebted to demigods for their supplying necessities like air, light, water, etc. Without which we cannot exist. Survival is impossible. Then how is this indebtedness or Rina to demigods liquidated? It is liquidated by the yajna of offering oblations with ghee, which satisfies the demigods. So this was a part and parcel of our Vedic society. Every householder would do it every day of his life. There would always be a sacrificial fire burning and this would be done. The second one is Rishi Rina. When one takes advantage of the Vedic literatures, one becomes indebted. Indebted to whom? Great sages like Vyasadev, Narad, Asita and others. So, and how is this indebtedness Rina discharged or how is it, you know, liquidated? It is liquidated by studying the Vedas by Adhyapana, which satisfies the great sages. Now Srila Prabhupada has given us so many wonderful books. He has written so many books, compiled such wonderful literature. So what indeed would give him satisfaction? Prabhupada would say, just don't distribute my books, but also read them. So reading the beautiful transcendental literature which Srila Prabhupada has given us, that would indeed give him satisfaction. Of course, apart from our making progress in Krishna consciousness, the purpose for which the books have been written. Then, Pitrirana, indebtedness to forefathers, which is what we are talking about now. When one takes birth in a particular family, one becomes indebted to the forefathers. And this indebtedness is liquidated by performing what is known as Pitru Yajna. And Shraddha ceremony, all these are related ceremonies. And Srila Prabhupada says that Shraddha is prasad offered to the forefathers at a certain date of the year or certain month. And this Shraddha Patra is usually offered to the best of the Brahmanas. Then there is Bhuta Runa, for which Bhuta Yajna is performed. Then there is Nru Yajna, which is done for the benefit of common people. So thus these yajnas were a regular feature of a householder's life in the Vedic tradition. And yajnas were being performed by everyone. We read in the Srimad Bhagavatam that practically every great king performed yajna and sacrifices. So every third or fourth page you find a sacrifice being mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's very, very important. And it's not that the yajnas were performed only by royalty. They were also performed by ordinary householders like us. So how important are the Brahmanas to the Supreme Lord? And why are the Brahmanas worshipable? Why is it that we always seek the association of Brahmanas in such yajnas, in such sacrifices? So this question is answered by the Supreme Lord himself. When Jay and Vijay, they insulted the four Kumaras, when the four Kumaras wanted to enter into the Vaikuntha, they were stopped. Jai Vijay thought that these are, you know, ordinary kids, you know, not dressed also adequately. Why allow them entrance? And they tried to stop them. And the four Kumaras became angry. Of course, it's all a part of pastime of the Lord. They became very angry. They were on the liberated platform already, but they became angry. And the four Kumaras cursed Jai and Vijay. So when they were cursed, the Supreme Lord himself, he came out. In his all his glory he came out. And what did the Lord say? Tadva prasadayami brahma devam param hime tadhi iti atma krutam manne yat swambhu yat swapumbhi asatkrita. So the Lord says, to me the Brahmanas, Brahmana is the highest and most beloved personality. Davyam paramhime. The disrespect shown by my attendants has actually been displayed by me. Because the doormen are my servitors. So I take this to be an offense by myself. Therefore I seek your forgiveness for the incident that has arisen. So here we find that the Supreme Lord is showing so much respect to these exalted Brahmanas, the four Kumaras. He is not only taking a humble position before the Brahmanas, but also accepting the responsibility for the action of his servitors. But the important thing for us to understand is that Brahmanas are even worshipable by the Lord. Elsewhere in the same chapter, the Lord says, Yame tanuhu dvijavaran duhati hi madiya. So the Brahmanas, the cows and the defenseless creatures are my own body. So this is the esteem in which the Lord holds the Brahmanas. And in the same mood, the Lord says to the Kumaras, Chindyama swa bahum api vaha pratikula vruttim. I will not hesitate to lop off my own arm if its conduct is found hostile to you. So this is the respect which the Lord is showing to the Brahmanas. I don't mind severing my own arm because he doesn't have to do it. And why he is saying all this, also there is a reason, but we won't go into it. So then elsewhere he says, Naham tata admi yajamana havihi vitane chochat dhruta plutam adan hutabhuk mukhena yat brahmanasya mukataha charata anughasam tushtasya mai avahitahi nijakarma pakahi. So the Lord is saying that I do not enjoy the oblations offered by the sacrificers in the sacrificial fire, which is one of my own mouths. With the same relish as I do the delicacies overflowing with ghee, which are offered to the mouths of the Brahmanas who have dedicated to me the results of their activities, nija karma pakahi, and who are ever satisfied with my prasad. So the Lord is saying here that, yes, when you offer the oblations in the sacrifice, I accept it. It's one of my mouths. But this doesn't give me so much pleasure. I don't relish it as much as when we feed exalted Brahmanas with nice, you know, prasad cooked out of ghee. Grutaplutam. And that indeed gives me pleasure. So the inference that we draw from these statements, such statements are elsewhere also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is clear that the Lord eats through the sacrificial fire and the Brahmana's mouth. So by pleasing the Brahmanas, therefore, the Supreme Lord is immensely pleased. And that is the reason why Brahmanas become the presiding officers at the various yajnas, the presiding personalities, important personalities at various yajnas that are performed. So while different grades of Brahmanas assist in performance of these yajnas, it's not that everybody is authorized, or qualified to perform Rajasuya Yajna. There'll be some other highest exalted Brahmanas will perform that. There are other grades of Brahmanas. All of them would participate in performance of the Yajna, which is for the welfare of the society. Of course, in this age of Kali, we do not perform Yajnas that are recommended there. What is the Yajna that we perform? Sankirtana Yajna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Karbhajan Muni actually sums it up. When it speaks to King Nimi, he says, Deva Rishi Bhuta Apta Nrunam Pitrunam Na Kinkaraha Nayam Runicha Rajan Sarvatmana Yaha Sharanam Sharanyam Gato Mukundam Parihrutya Kartam. It's one of the very famous verses in Srimad Bhagavatam. It says, the meaning is that one who has given up all the material duties and taken full shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, who gives shelter to all, is not indebted to the demigods, great sages, ordinary living beings, relatives, friends, mankind, or even to his forefathers who have passed away. Because this doesn't mean that we are not indebted to anybody. We are indebted to our parents. We are indebted to Srila Prabhupada for giving us this matchless gift of Krishna consciousness. We are indebted to our spiritual master. We are indebted to all the Vaishnavas for helping us sustain our Krishna consciousness. But we are not indebted in the way that has been described earlier. So, at any given point in time, we are always grateful for what we have received and we are always indebted. So, we can't take the position of, you know, not being grateful. So, the next question that arises in one's mind is, why is it there are different grades of brahmanas? Why is it that the consciousness of different brahmanas, you know, is different? So, why are their qualifications different? That is the question. So, Srila Prabhupada gives an explanation in one of his purports. He says that every person engaged in transcendental loving service of the Lord in this material world is prone to so many material affections. Each one of us here trying to practice Krishna consciousness also, we are placed in this material world, and the material world, you know, actually dominates over, you know, what we want to really do. Our consciousness is completely enveloped, completely covered over by so many things that are happening. The same is true for brahmanas who are actually wanting to be on the highest platform. Brahma janati iti brahmana. All of us are born, you know, as shudras. And then gradually, brahma janati, one who is, you know, knows the Supreme Lord, he is alone, you know, entitled to be called brahmana. But all these people who are practicing, who are on the path, all of them are affected by the material things, the material environment in which they are there. So we may think that we are influencing, you know, people who are in the material world, but very often the material, you know, people, they affect us also. It can be called as reverse osmosis. You know? We are also affected. It's not that we claim that we are influencing others, and of course we should try to influence others, but we are also equally influenced, and this awareness is very much necessary, and that is the reason why the consciousness of different brahmanas is different, and therefore there are different grades. So Prabhupada writes, an ordinary brahmana may fall from brahminical tejas or the power of brahminical excellence due to his association with many fallen conditioned souls. So which are the different categories of brahmanas? Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in narrating the pastime of Haridas Thakur and Advaita Acharya, which I am sure must have been discussed yesterday. Was it discussed yesterday? Anyway, I'll come to that. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives a reference to Garuda Purana, in which there is a verse which categorizes the different brahmanas. Brahmananam sahasrebhya satrayaji vishishyate satrayaji sahasrebhya sarva vedanta paragaha Sarva Vedanta Vitkopya Kotya Vishnu Bhakto Vishishyate Vaishnavanam Sahasrebhya Ekante Ko Vishishyate. So among thousands of Brahmins, one who performs the Vedic sacrifices, he is superior. Then again, among thousands of such Vedic Brahmanas, one who is well versed in the meanings of Vedic lore is superior. So a very clear-cut distinction is made. There may be people who know the Vedas by heart and they may be able to quote left and right from the Vedic scriptures. But if they're doing it, fine, they're doing it. But without knowing the meanings, then the one who knows the meanings is superior to the one who does it just, you know, in a very conventional way. Sarva Vedanta Vitkotya Vishnu Bhakto Vishishyate. So Sarva Vedanta Vit. So amongst a crore of brahmanas well-versed in the shastras, a devotee of Lord Vishnu is considered to be still more superior. And who is the supreme most? Even amongst thousands of devotees of Vishnu, a single-minded devotee of Sri Krishna is spoken as the supreme most. So this verse very beautifully tells us the sort of categories in which we can find various, you know, types of brahmanas. All are endeavoring towards perfection, but the consciousness, you know, is different. But one who is totally surrendered to Krishna, who is sold out to the Supreme Lord Krishna, one who is Krishna conscious, he is considered to be supreme. So, one need not ever think that only one is born in a brahmana kula, he is, you know, qualified. One who is totally surrendered, Sa Mahatma Sudurlabha, very, very rare, but is there, such a person is indeed a true Brahmana. So there is that beautiful pastime of Haridas Thakur and coming to Advaita Acharya. Anytime Shraddha is discussed, this story must come. So I am repeating this for my purification. So when Advaita Acharya, who is an incarnation of Mahavishnu and Sadashiv, he was staying in Shantipur, and when Haridas Thakur came there, they met each other with great love, they embraced each other, and then Advaita Acharya arranged for a very beautiful lonely hut for Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur needed a lonely hut because of chanting 192 rounds every day. So he arranged a beautiful hut for him on the banks of the Ganges. And they would every day have ecstatic reading and discussions on the real import of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And Haridas Thakur, he would have his arms of food from every day from the house of Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya, great exalted on high lineage Brahmana, but every day Haridas Thakur, who is a Mohammedan, he gets prasadam from Advaita Acharya's house. So while days rolled like this in spiritual bliss, I am cutting it short, Haridas Thakur approached Advaita Acharya one day with a very humble request. He said, "Holy sir, what is the benefit of feeding me daily? This place, this Shantipur, it's noted for so many Brahmins who come from very exalted, families, and many eminent persons of high lineage are here. So why is it that you want to feed me of all the people? Ignoring all of them, the great hospitality that you are extending to me may probably offend all of them. Because I am such a low-born person." So Haridas Thakur was very joyous that he was receiving Krishna Prasad every day from such an exalted, pure devotee of the Lord. But at the same time, he was concerned about the consequences that would accrue by his receiving Prasad. So he's cautioning Advaita Acharya. He says that your feeding me may pave the way for some social trouble. So these days also we hear of moral police. They go and, invade so many places, and they want to police everyone. So similarly there, he's afraid, Haridas Thakur, that, maybe there'll be some social trouble. It'll brew up if you continue to feed me like that. So I appeal to you from the bottom of my heart not to continue this practice. And you do things as are sanctioned by the Shastra. Don't do, things which are away from the Shastra. Do things which are with the sanction of the Shastra, and then it'll be all right. And what was Advaita Acharya's response? He asked Haridas Thakur to shed all such fears and assured him that whatever he was doing was according to Shastra only. He was not deviating from the Shastra when he was offering him food every day. And then Advaita Acharya quoted from the Shastra, and one of the verses quoted is the quote that we just now finished. So that's how Advaita Acharya assured Haridas Thakur that not to worry. And then he says that in a very famous verse, "Tumi khaile haya koti brahman bhojan, eta bali shaddha patra karaila bhojan." So Advaita Acharya told Haridas Thakur, "You are that pure devotee of the Lord who is completely surrendered to the Supreme Lord. Therefore, feeding you is equal to feeding 10 million brahmanas." This is how Prabhupada translates it. "Is equal to feeding 10 million brahmanas. And Advaita Acharya said, "Therefore, accept this Shraddha Patra." So he offered him the Shraddha Patra. And he persuaded Haridas Thakur, much against his will, to accept that prasad. So one can understand, therefore, that Advaita Acharya, by this one act, has laid bare before, and taught the world the unique position of a genuine, pure devotee of the Lord. It is above all caste, it is above all creed, it is beyond any material considerations. So it is a supreme position, and Haridas Thakur was given this position. Of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also gave him that position. He gave him the position of Namacharya. So thus we can see that the pure-hearted devotee of the Lord, he is the one who is entitled. And actually, if we have, therefore, calling one such devotee to a Shraddha ceremony, who is completely dedicated his life to the Lord, is more meaningful than, you know, inviting so many people. Now, Srila Prabhupada in his purport, we will talk a little bit about lavish spending. Srila Prabhupada in his purport mentions that Indians spend especially lavishly on three occasions: at the birth of a child, at marriage, and while observing Shraddha ceremony. Most of the time, this spending is a matter of prestige issue. Of course, there may be very, very wealthy people who do it out of proper consciousness, but it can happen that most of the time, you know, people do it to display their wealth, to show off, this is my wealth, show off. So when it is done with, of course, with purity in the right consciousness, it is an order, nothing wrong with that. So we find in the Srimad Bhagavatam that when Parikshit Maharaj was born, Yudhishthir Maharaj, what did he do? Hiranyam gam mahim graman hasti ashwan rupati varan pradasu annam cha viprebhya prajatirte satirthavit. The key word in this verse is not Hiranyam gam mahim. The key word in this verse is tirthavit. Yudhishthir Maharaj was tirthavit, which means that he knew to whom to give charity, when to give charity, how to give charity. He knew all the modalities of giving charity. And in that process, he gave Hiranyam, he gave gold, he gave land, villages, elephants, horses, food grains to the Brahmins. This is perfectly all right. But you can't, you know, we can't carry on in the footsteps of Yudhishthira Maharaj. Then again, we find that when the Yadus, from the royalty, when they went to Prabhas Kshetra for pilgrimage, they also gave in charity to deserving Brahmanas. Hiranyam rajatam shayyam vasam si ajinakam balam yanam rathan ibhan kanya dharam ruti karim api. They gave to the Brahmanas not only well-fed cows, they did give them, but also gold, Hiranyam. They gave rajatam, that means gold coins. They gave beddings, they gave clothing, animal skin seats, blankets, horses, elephants, even girls to marry, and sufficient land for maintenance. This total provision. Nothing is left out. This is how the Brahmanas were held in high esteem in the days gone by. But for us devotees, the standards have been set by Srila Rupa Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami tells us how we should, you know, spend our money. Even normal hour, when we earn for our livelihood also, how to spend that money, that instruction is given by Srila Gopa Goswami. 50% for the Lord and other things. So that we can try and follow. And Rupa Goswami has left no instructions regarding spending at birth, marriages and other things. But we have guidelines from our spiritual master and others. So we should follow that. And of course, when it comes to spending for Krishna, we should do our very best. When we ask for charity from, you know, devotees during Janmashtami, we say, Krishna sees what you withhold, not what you give. So that is valid, yes. We must do our very best for the Lord. Because the consciousness of a devotee is that he must become akinchana gochara. So he should be not be attached to anything material. So that consciousness should be there. But lavish spending is not at all recommended. Prabhupada puts it in very beautifully. He says, Narad Muni has prohibited unnecessarily gorgeous arrangements to feed relatives or brahmanas during the Shraddha ceremony. So it's a definite no when it comes to lavish spending, which is nothing else but sometimes vulgar display of one's own wealth. And finally, we come to this statement which is made here, that if when we have many guests, when we feed, you know, many relatives, there are discrepancies, which are according to Desha Kala Uchita. So certain improprieties creep into this kind of situations, and that needs to be avoided. So what is the discrepancy? There could be several discrepancies. When you call so many people, that it is possible that we don't take proper care of the certain people, and we may leave them, you know, dissatisfied. The entire purpose of all this is to please the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord, you know, is receiving our service through the Brahmanas or through the guests whom we are inviting, and that purpose is not served when you call too many people. So there could be some discrepancies. There is this very famous story which all of you know, story of Nruga, King Nruga. I'll state it very briefly. So Nruga is born as a lizard. The grandchildren of the Supreme Lord Krishna discover him in a well. They come and report to Krishna, and the Lord comes and he finds a huge lizard in a dried up well, and with his left finger, as soon as he touches, the lizard's body is given up, and out of it comes a resplendent, you know, looking celestial being. He comes out and Krishna asks him, how is it that you are in this state? And that man describes, he says that, you know, he, of course, little bit of false ego is reflected in his explanations. He says that he had been very charitably disposed and had given away so many cows to Brahmanas that the total of the cows that he had given away to Brahmanas was equal to the number of particles of dust on earth, or stars in the sky, or drops of water in the rainfall. So I had given so many. So he makes it clear to the Lord, you know, that, you know, I have done all this. These are all my credit cards, you know, so many grades I have got. I have given all this. And what further? He said that the cows that he had given in charity, they were not ordinary cows. Each one was very young and had given birth only to one calf. They were not aged cows, only one calf. And each cow was full of milk, very peaceful, healthy. And all the cows were purchased with money earned legally. This statement is from Krishna book. Every sentence is from Prabhupada. And all of them were beautifully decorated. I won't go into the decoration part of it. So all the cows were beautifully decorated. And these cows were given in charity to whom? To first class Brahmanas. Not ordinary Brahmanas. First class Brahmanas. Who were qualified and exalted and who were learned in Vedic knowledge and who had executed all kinds of austerities and penances. So the cows given were appropriate. The recipients, Brahmanas, they were also, you know, fully qualified. And then King Nruga gives the reason why he became a lizard. He says that unfortunately, one of the cows given in charity to the Brahmana, one of the Brahmanas, he gave the cow to a Brahmana, the Brahmana received it. Brahmana must have been looking here and there or daydreaming what he will do with the cow. Then the same cow entered into a shed where there were other cows still to be given in charity. And unfortunately for King Nruga, the cow which had already been given in charity was once again given in charity to another Brahmana. And that was the starting point of the problem. So both the Brahmanas came and appeared before Nruga. He said, this is my cow. You had given it in charity to me. And now the other man says it is his cow because it was given in charity to him. You are the one who has given in charity to both of us, but you have given the same cow. Nruga is miserable. One who has given, you know, cows equal the dust particles or, you know, drops in the rainfall. For him, you know, one cow didn't really matter. So he begged of each one of them. He said, please, you take 1 lakh cows in place of this one cow and let the other man take one cow and go away. Or both of you can take 1 lakh cows and, you know, be satisfied. But the Brahmanas were, you know, very pakka. They refused. They said, nothing doing. This cow or no cow. And with this kind of, you know, statement, they walked off. Both of them. Both of them were angry. They were dissatisfied. And the real purpose for performing this karmakanda activity had been totally defeated. So that is the reason why when he goes to, you know, Yama, he is given a chance, he is given two offers. One is that you have done such pious, you have such pious credits that you can, you know, indefinitely enjoy the merits of your activities, but you have done one, you know, impious act, for that you will be punished. What do you want first? Says that, give me, let me suffer for my impious act first, and then he becomes a lizard. So thus we find that any kind of activity which is done in a karmakandi way doesn't lead to the required result. It creates complications, and that is could be one of the reasons. Maybe Radha Gopinath Prabhu and others can add to the reasons, but he says that this is not recommended because it can lead to discrepancies. So we should take responsibility for that which we can do ourselves very nicely. So there are spiritual alternatives for all karmakanda activities that devotees perform. For that we can seek advice of senior Vaishnava. Sometimes in great distress we do certain activities, karmakanda activities, and they can, you know, create difficulties for us in our spiritual path, but we can seek advice. We can seek shelter of senior Vaishnavas, we can seek shelter of the spiritual master and seek advice and solve our problems and advance in our service to Guru and Krishna. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any questions or comments, please feel free. Radha Gopinath Prabhu, would like to add something? Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavat Puranam ki.